You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The Boston Herald is reporting that 13 men were arrested this week in a human trafficking sting in the area around Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard, where crises of housing, addiction, and mental health converge. Interim Suffolk County District Attorney Kevin Hayden is touting the move after he told us here on Radio Boston last week that there's an important role for law enforcement in this public health crisis.
We have to face the reality that we have a public health problem down on Mass and Cass, but we also have a public safety problem as well. And we need to work at and eliminate that. We need to eliminate the drug dealing that is going on down there and the attendant more serious crime that's also going along with it. Human trafficking, more violent crime. Violent crime this year down that area is up by about 9% compared to last year. And so that's got to concern everybody.
And that's a compare and contrast to Boston Mayor Michelle Wu's focus on a public health response and services. So are there two sides to this coin, and what is the right focus with this complex set of problems? Joining us now is Brendan Little. He lived without housing and knew the Mass and Cass community, and he's also the former policy director for the mayor's Office of Recovery Services under former Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Brendan, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So, Brendan, we had planned a check-in with you today about Mass and Cass before this latest news about this sting operation around human trafficking there. I do want to start by getting your reaction to that news.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me again. I'm grateful to be here. Well, one of the things that I think is really important to do whenever we're talking about Mass and Cass is to zoom out a little bit, because we can get so caught up in the nitty-gritty of the neighborhood because it is facing a great amount of problems. One of the things I think about most with Mass and Cass is who has the privilege of invisibility. Sex trafficking happens all over the city, all over the Commonwealth. And if you talk to commercial sex police officers who focus on that, they'll tell you that the majority of sex work happens in hotels, in apartments, massage parlors. And similarly, for overdoses, the majority of fatal overdoses in Boston happen in homes, residences. They don't happen on the street. What that tells me is that the people who are at Mass Cass don't have the privilege of being invisible. Their pain is out for all of us to see. And because of that, it gets disproportionate attention. So while I think it's really tragic and sad that people are being exploited at Mass and Cass, I think it's important to contextualize it in the face of these problems as larger problems.
It's so interesting, Brendan, to hear you talk about being invisible as a privilege, because I think the knee-jerk reaction from a listener white might be, well, if you need help, you don't want to be invisible. You want people to know that you are in pain, or you are experiencing substance use disorder, or someone is trafficking you. But you're saying there's a little bit different frame there.
Yes, of course. And I do think that it is very complicated. It's not, you know, people who are struggling alone in their homes, as I once did. That is a very real problem, and that is something we need to address. And it's something that I worked on at the city, and the city continues to work on to reach people in their homes. And that's actually one area where public safety has been really helpful, the fire department, the Boston police, and doing outreach at homes where there had been overdoses. But I think that, you know, Mass and Cass has kind of become the scapegoat for a lot of our larger societal problems around housing, around class disparities, around racism, around the way we treat people who are unhoused or drug users. And I think that because of that, I always try to pull the conversation out a little bit. The UN released a report saying that there was a 26% increase in worldwide drug use from 2010 to 2020. 26% worldwide. People are experiencing pain, and it goes across social lines, across class, race. However, the people who suffer disproportionately, the people who are overly penalized, are poor and black and brown.
I also want to note, to add to your statistics, that in 2021, Massachusetts had its highest rate of overdoses at well over 2,000. So we are feeling that pain here. Brendan, the reason we had invited you to come back on today was we had talked to you in November of 2021 as we were assessing the efforts that were underway then. They had been launched by former acting Mayor Kim Janey in Boston to remove tents and move people out of the area. That process picked up by Michelle Wu with more of a public health focus ended in January. Boston.com has reported that since then, 320 people have used low threshold housing. There are 60 who have moved into and stayed in the Roundhouse Hotel. With your perspective, one who seeks to reframe and step back from how we understand this problem, what we really want to know is, do you think we're making a progress and do you think we're making enough progress?
I do think I applaud the city. I applaud Mayor Wu for her emphasis on low threshold housing and harm reduction housing. I was
and low
very
threshold
excited
means
to
you
that.
Don't have to meet a lot of criteria to get in, right?
Yes, exactly. It's the reason why the reason it worked is because there was, you know, 80 to 100 tents outside of an empty homeless shelter. Why was that? It was because people couldn't be with their social community. They couldn't be with their partners. They couldn't have dignity of their own space. So the low threshold housing, which is citywide, not just situated at MassCass, has been effective in my assessment. However, one thing that does trouble me is that the engagement center has been primarily closed. It's only had access to less than half of its full capacity. In the engagement center, which I helped spearhead and create when I was at the city of Boston, was designed because there were too many people on the street. And I think that the reason for closing the engagement center is not backed by anything other than just kind of, again, looking for a scapegoat for the area.
Just to clarify for listeners, the engagement center opened by Boston Mayor Michelle Wu closed in April, associated with 5 stabbings in the area, an announcement in May that it would reopen with limited hours.
Yes. And again, contextualize. There are stabbings outside of St. Francis House, you know, downtown. There are stabbings outside of Pine Street, the homeless shelter. They don't shut down services because there's violence. There was a shooting at Boston Public School headquarters in Roxbury. So I think you don't shut down public health, needed public health services, because there's an incident of violence.
So, Brendan, with our remaining time, and gosh, the clock feels like it's moving so fast today, what is the most important next policy step, you think?
I think it's really important to continue the work that's been done by the Engagement Center. I think that many people say that the tents that came down in January was a successful operation. That's because the staff who work at the Engagement Center were out there and knew the people. The other providers who came in to help with taking down the tents used the Engagement Center as a hub for that. So I think it's really important to lift up. There's been confusion. Some people still think the engagement center is closed. It's open for medical services. So, you know, some providers in the area who this is their area of expertise think it's still closed. And I think it's important that the city continue its excellent work that it's done on that low threshold housing front, but continue to have drop-in spaces for people, because the people are still there. They're just on the street now in extreme heat. And it's important to get them inside where they can get access to services and dignity.
All right. And just for listeners, the shooting outside the Boston Public School headquarters was in 2017. That is Brendan Little, former policy director for the Mayor's Office of Recovery Services under former Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, and someone we have been in conversation with about the experience unfolding at Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard. Brendan, thanks for coming back today.
Thank you so much for having me.